This is Focus West Michigan for Tuesday, December 23, 2025. I'm Joe Bilecki with your local news. A new nonpartisan public policy organization wants to lead education efforts supporting Michigan families and small businesses. WGVU's David Limbaugh tells us about the Michigan Smart Trade Alliance.
We've seen a lot of West Michigan economic analysis come out over the last month or so, showing that the uncertainty of tariff policy is causing some backups in the economy. And so we wanted to arrange an ability for businesses to have a calm, sane place to talk about these policies.
Michigan Smart Trade Alliance spokesperson John Selleck says the organization has designed a space where businesses can discuss policies and have their voices heard by Michigan and Washington, D.C. decision makers.
We see a lot of politicians throwing this stuff around for political benefit. We know that there's a ton of businesses in Michigan who may support a lot of the economic policies that President Trump's put in place, but they need to be heard on this one and maybe have some adjustments be made going forward into 2026-2027.
MISTA's recently commissioned bipartisan poll from Up One Insights and Impact Research of 600 registered Michigan voters shows 43% of voters support tariffs on imports, 49% oppose them, and only 16% said their personal financial situation is improving. You can learn more about MISTA's education efforts online at smarttradealliance.com. I'm David Limbaugh.
With Christmas here on Thursday and people settling in for their various festivities, Governor Gretchen Whitmer reached out to those not at home for the holidays, including troops from Wyoming. WGVU's Jennifer Moss has more.
Governor Gretchen Whitmer called actively deployed members of the Michigan National Guard to wish them a happy holiday season and a happy new year. In her news release, Governor Whitmer said, quote, "Michiganders who serve in uniform represent the best of us," adding, "It was an honor to speak to many of our deployed service members today and convey my gratitude to them. As we celebrate the holidays and gather with family, friends, and loved ones, I encourage every Michigander to take a moment to acknowledge the selfless sacrifices that these individuals make every day and pray for their safe return home," end quote. Governor Whitmer spoke to airmen currently deployed to Germany in support of U.S. European Command, soldiers deployed to Kuwait in support of U.S. Central Command, and soldiers deployed to the southwest border in support of Joint Interagency Task Force West. These airmen and soldiers are tackling a wide range of challenges in each of their respective missions, and they include members from Battle Creek in the 217th Air Operations Group, 110th Wing, as well as Bravo Company, 3126 Infantry Battalion, out of Wyoming. I'm Jennifer Moss.
Grand Rapids Fulton and Market Project is receiving more than $500,000 in state-approved transformational brownfield grant money. WGVU's Patrick Center has the details.
Grand Rapids Riverfront Project at Fulton and Market Streets has been awarded nearly $561 million from the Michigan Strategic Fund's Transformational Brownfield Plan Grant. The money will be used for developing nearly 7 acres with construction of 3 mixed-use towers, including a 21-story office tower, a 130-room hotel, and a 43-story residential tower featuring 595 residential units. All of them will include parking and accommodate ground floor restaurant and retail. 68,000 square feet of public space will surround the buildings, complete with a river walk and promenade with riverfront steps. In all, the project will add 670 housing units and 2,500 parking spaces. It's estimated nearly $796 million will be invested in the local economy, supporting more than 1,900 jobs. The TPB incentive will be reimbursed over 30 years. I'm Patrick Center.
Coming up soon, an episode of Study Hall from School News Network, but first, news from around the state. Bills passed by the Michigan Senate would set a lower THC threshold for regulating a product as marijuana or consumable hemp. Colin Jackson has more on what that would mean.
THC is the main psychoactive ingredient in marijuana. The package would treat products with more than 1.75 milligrams THC per container, like marijuana sold in dispensaries. Lower dosage products could be licensed and sold in stores. Blaine Bechtold with the industry trade group iHemp Michigan says the THC milligram threshold is too low.
We really need it to be 5 in order for people to be able to receive the benefit from the products that they're using. For pain relief, for depression, whatever it might be they're using it for.
Democratic State Senator Dana Polhanke says the lower threshold was a compromise with lawmakers worried about safety.
That's really the dividing line. Does it get you high? Does it not get you high?
The bills now head to the State House of Representatives. I'm Colin Jackson.
Detroit Mayor Mike Duggan presented his final report on the residential blight removal program on Monday, announcing that fewer than 1,000 abandoned homes are left to be addressed in the city. That's down from 47,000 land bank-owned homes in 2014. Duggan says in the last 12 years, the city has demolished 27,000 homes and sold 19,000.
And it's just remarkable. The idea that we sold more abandoned houses than we knocked down over the last 5 years. There's probably no accomplishment I'm prouder of than that.
Duggan says a University of Michigan study showed that the neighborhoods with the lowest property value saw the most gain. He says there is still $15 million in a reserve fund to close out the demolition effort next year. The Michigan Strategic Fund Board approved two massive tax incentive packages Monday to spur on developments in Kalamazoo and Grand Rapids. The board approved more than $50 million in incentives for a downtown Kalamazoo project to redevelop three buildings, including a courthouse. And it approved more than $560 million in tax incentives for a plan to build three new towers along a river in downtown Grand Rapids. The three towers will include an office building, a hotel, and a residential tower. Residents in Grand Rapids had pushed back on the Three Towers project, arguing more money should go towards supporting affordable housing from the project. Focus West Michigan is brought to you by listeners like you. To support the show and everything we do here, visit wgvunews.org and click the donate button. And for a weekly dose of news right to your inbox, sign up for the WGVU newsletter. The ABC Orchestra, that is anything but classical, at East Kentwood High School empowers its 32 student musicians to arrange songs, improvise, and get community gigs. Today, Study Hall from School News Network talks with three ABC members and their director about finding joy and community through performing pop rock, heavy metal, and other non-classical tunes.
Hello everyone, and welcome to Study Hall from School News Network, your window into the public schools of Kent County, Michigan. A special welcome to our listeners at WGVU. I'm your host, Charlie Honey, and I'm here at East Kentwood High School for a rehearsal of the Anything But Classical Orchestra. The ABC Orchestra plays rock, pop, blues, bluegrass, pretty much anything but the standard classical repertoire. They're under the direction of Ryan Wallace, a veteran punk rocker who prepares these young musicians to arrange their own music, play gigs in the community, and maybe embark on musical careers, or at least have a lifelong relationship with music. Here with us, in addition to Ryan, are three of his talented musicians, Millie, SJ, and Maggie. Welcome to you all. So I just have to ask, what gets you up so freaking early in the morning to play this music? What brings you here?
Well, firstly, I think I joined mainly because of Mr. Wallace, because he was my teacher in middle school. And I just had that connection with him. So, but also I think getting up in the morning, it's probably what gets me up in the morning, because otherwise I would just come to school and come straight to physics. And I think that would be like a lot worse. I think this is a very good like pick me up to start
for sure.
My day.
I'll say. Peggy?
Yeah, I mean, what Millie said, it's like a really good way to start the day. And I like feel excited going to class because I already like played music and I've done something that I love first thing in the morning. So it really helps me like throughout the day to get through the day. But it also like, I think this is the reason that I really love music, because with regular orchestra, like I always liked it, but I never really loved it. Like I found my passion for music in ABC.
Yeah. Oh, you found very cool. SJ, what about you?
Well, I discovered electric bass from ABC, and that really inspired me to join. And the short answer is it's just really fun. Like, honestly, even if it weren't like a required class, I got no credit, or it's just a volunteer thing, I'd still do it. It's just still fun to pursue passion in music.
So, Ryan, what's special and distinctive about ABC Orchestra?
I think in the name itself, it's the anything but classical. We're going to work on the skills that students wouldn't normally get in the regular orchestra classroom. So improvising, learning how to arrange, learning how to put on an engaging performance are all things that we don't really have time to do in the normal classroom, but we're able to teach these kids in this group because we don't have to focus on notes and rhythms anymore. We can focus on these other skills. So I think it really brings an air of independent and more professional musicianship geared towards non-classical gigs, obviously, where kids can go and take ownership of these skills and really make it their own.
So they do a lot of, for instance, their own arranging of music, correct?
Yep.
You largely sit back, stand back in the rehearsal and let them kind of take charge of the process.
I like to have the students do as much as we possibly can. In teacher terms, it's a student-led classroom and I'm facilitating their learning. We had a gig where we played for the new teacher training here at Kentwood. And one of the students was doing the announcing at that gig and said, oh, by the way, Mr. Wallace is our teacher, but he doesn't really do anything, so you don't need to pay attention to him. It was said in love, and it's kind of true. I would rather be in the background, so it's not my group. I'm just facilitating their learning. And then one of the gigs, I actually was a violin tech because strings kept going out of tune or breaking.
Uh-huh.
So they were running backstage, and I'm like, I have a master's degree to be a violin tech to a bunch of high schoolers, which was a good thing. That was a fun thing for me.
The Anything But Classical take on this, and this is a program that's been going on since before you were here, right?
Yep.
About 18 years altogether.
Yep.
But what is the value in your mind as a musician yourself of having them in addition to the classical that they get in their regular orchestra program here, correct?
Mm-hmm.
What's the value of having them learn these more popular styles like the rock and the pop and the so forth?
I think it gives them the skills to go, maybe I don't want to go into music professionally. I want to go into a different job or career path or anything like that. But I can take these skills and I can still go play music with my friends. I can go into the community. I can find a jam session. I can hang there. If I want to gig a little bit more seriously, we could play weddings or, just go play some cover stuff or play with a cover band at a bar or something like that. So we don't necessarily have to keep music at the forefront of our lives of I am a professional full-time musician. It can be I'm a lawyer or a doctor or I work a construction job and I just like playing on the weekends, which I think there's a lot of space for that. And I think we have this idea that if you do a hobby, you have to be the best at it and you have to be perfect and you have to be professional and you have to monetize it. And it's like, but what if we just had fun?
Yeah,
that's okay. We can just have fun with our hobbies.
Yeah, you want them to have a lifelong relationship of enjoying music, correct?
Yeah,
correct.
Yeah.
And you play out in the community quite a bit. You've played a couple different places recently.
We played the Mona Shores Fiddle Fest. We were the featured artist for that, which we got to play for their fantastic program, play with their fantastic program.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing really cool stuff over there. We opened for the Grand Rapids Symphony. We played in the lobby for their Friday Pops concert last week, which was a really fun thing, seeing a bunch of people stopping and watching us, which apparently we blocked traffic, so they had to send some other people over to make sure that parents weren't stopping and getting in the way of everyone else trying to go in there.
Mm-hmm.
And we try to play out in the community as much as we possibly can, so we're a community-based group to draw the community into what we're doing here.
Yeah, about 20 outside gigs a year.
15, 20 a year.
Yep. That's amazing. Right now you're doing some holiday stuff, Mariah Carey,
yep.
Trans-Siberian Orchestra, very cool stuff. Talk about the importance of music education in the total education program that these students have.
I think that music is so... I think extracurriculars overall are very important. I happen to like music, and I think that for a lot of these kids, music is not only something that they enjoy doing, but builds a sense of community for them to feel like, number one, this is home, and number two, I can enjoy being at home with all of my friends and engaging in this creative practice.
How cool. Yeah. Wonderful. Well, great job that you're doing with them. Thank you for being with us today. Thanks to your talented musicians, and thanks to the listeners at WGVU for joining us. To hear the full version of this podcast, go to schoolnewsnetwork.org and click on podcasts, or you can find it on Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. So thanks again, and until next time, happy studying.
For more on this ensemble, visit schoolnewsnetwork.org and click on podcasts.
This has been Focus West Michigan from WGVU for Tuesday, December 23, 2025. I'm Joe Balecki. Our audio operations manager is Rick Bierling, and our news and public affairs director is Patrick Center. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll be back with more news and events in West Michigan tomorrow. Thanks for listening.